The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So I'm not sure where you want to go with this homily. You want to be Jeremiah stuck in the mud? Or a family divided over Jesus? Jeremiah has thrown down the cistern because he's dividing what's left of the city of Jerusalem while it's under siege. Right? The occupying army has surrounded the city, and they're laying siege to it. And Jeremiah is going about preaching, well, you know, we should have followed what God said, and now we haven't, so this is happening. It wasn't a very popular message. So, into the muddy goes. Jesus came to preach a very similar, unpopular message. And maybe we've forgotten how unpopular it is until it butts up against something or someone in our life. What do you mean we have to love our enemies? Those horrible people did that. We should, well, bomb them, blow them up, tie them up, torture them. No. Jesus said we should love them. Even more than you love yourself. You should love them as I've loved you. And here he is, just agonizing that he's not on the cross yet. I'm like, whoa, slow down, Lord. I'm not quite ready to love people with the same passion you love me. Maybe I have to work up to that. One of the things that it can be alluded to in the gospel is this fire. Right? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the coming of the great fires that Elijah called down to consume the pagan sacrifice? What fire is it? Well, doing some sleuthing around the words in there, one writer said it might be a fire in a brick oven, alluding to also Jesus' idea of being salt and light for the world. Salt was used in these brick ovens, these bread baking ovens, these clay ovens, as a catalyst. They'd mix it in with the camel scat or camel dung. They'd mix it in and then dry the dung, and the salt inside of it would help it burn better. But they'd also put a big brick of it in the base of the oven, and you could see how it would hold heat, and it would almost burn itself, and it made for an even temperature and a much hotter oven. All of that being rather interesting to me, because I bake things in kilns. Now, how to pull that into the gospel? Well, what if Jesus was that catalyst, or our faith in Jesus is that catalyst in our life? Without Jesus, we can do a so-so job of following the commandments, right? We've got them, they're written down. We do, well, you know, I haven't killed anyone. I do okay. That's kind of how the thinking goes. Or, with Jesus, we can live them with such beauty, with such grace, with such vibrancy, with such passion, that others would be attracted to them. Now, will we attract everyone? No. We know that's not true. Right? How many people are here without their spouses? It's just Jesus called it as it was. Not everyone would have the same passion for the faith that we do. And there's people way more passionate about it than I am. Jesus said he came to bring division? Well, a better reading is he came And faith in him would cause division. Faith in him would cause people to not like us or ostracize us or say, you Christians, you know, if you only knew better. I've heard that. And yet, that countless hosts of witnesses, did you see that in the Hebrews? Anybody see it? It said we're surrounded by a host of witnesses. A host of witnesses? We don't use that language, do we? A big crowd, I think, would be better translation. There's a big crowd of witnesses around us. And what have they been doing? Well, since the very first, they've been witnessing to that passion that Christ had for living. And if anything, he had a passion for living. A passion that was so beautiful. He desired to share that with everyone. And he knew the only way he could give his life to us was to lose it on the cross. It's that race that Paul talks about. Jesus has set his sights on Jerusalem, and he's just fired up about it, isn't he? He says, I just desire to be baptized with the baptism I must undergo. I wish the whole world were blazing with the passion for God that I have. Right? Set me on fire, Lord. Let me be that catalyst to the community. Let me be that catalyst in my family. Let me be okay that not everybody likes me or loves me or follows along with me. And yet, even though our closest relatives may not, as Jesus suggests in the gospel, that countless hosts of witnesses, that big crowd has been doing it from the beginning. We know stories, right? We just celebrated Maximilian Kolbe on the 14th of August, who was so alive with God's love that when a married man was condemned in the prison of Auschwitz, he said, I'll take his place. I desire to take his place and die by starvation in that little bunker where you're going to torture us. I'll do that. Okay, I'm not there yet either. Go, Max. Right? He was filled with a passionate fire of love that wanted to offer his life for another. We have lots of witnesses in the realms of the saints. One of the stories of the first century, young woman about to be killed because, well, she was Christian, and the Romans had captured her, and her dad said, well, just say you're not. Offer a little incense and come home. We'll move to Sicily or something. And you know what she said? She said, Dad, look over at that vase. Pick a vase. We've got a bunch of them. No vase there. Vase here. Vase behind me by Jesus. Right? Say, take a look at the vase. Can it be anything but a vase? Well, Dad said, no, it's a vase. It could be a broken vase, but it'll always be a vase. You know what she said? She said, and so will I. Always be a Christian. I could be nothing else. I want some of that faith. Tied up, ready to be executed, and I want to be a vase for the Lord. I want to be what I am, a Christian. So thoroughly that they can't get it out of me. I was reading one of the journals of the Roman soldiers, Roman people who were capturing Christians, and they're like, this is great. They meet every Sunday morning in the same place. And we go there and we find them. And it's like, and they even asked some of the leaders, like, why do you do this? You're making it too easy for us to find you and persecute you because you show up every Sunday morning in the same place at the same time. And they said, you know, we just can't live without Sunday. We can't imagine our life without a connection to the Eucharist we celebrate, or we feast on our Lord Jesus. And they wrote down in their journals, cannibals, very strange, we need to take them out of the country. They did. They wrote letters back and forth between Roman governors and said, what are we going to do with these Christians who appear to be cannibals, eating flesh and blood on Sunday mornings? We've been getting together to worship together for centuries now. I think Jesus is suggesting that it's got to light us on fire. When we come together, we have to be so filled up that we can't possibly just wander out, oh, that was kind of boring. Should have gone this morning. Right? If we leave unchanged, if the effect of the Word of God preached to us, if the effect of the body and blood consumed by us leaves us flat, I need to pray, right? Lord, light me on fire. Light our parish on fire. Light our people on fire with your divine love. Because Jesus knew that when we as Christians started loving people radically as he has loved us, people are going to be really uncomfortable and maybe not like us. What do you mean we need shelter for the poor? They should just work for it. What do you mean we should take care of the homeless or the hungry? What do you mean we should advocate for those who have no voice? Remember Jeremiah? He's like waist deep in mud at this point. He's sinking quickly. That old cistern hasn't seen water in a long time, but it's pretty gooey down there. How many people feel their faith might be mired in the goo at the bottom of a cistern? Right? Has it happened? Yeah, it's happened to me. Mired in the bottom of the cistern, gooed up. And I can't move. It's about to suck the boots off my feet. You know what you do? You cry out to God. You cry out to God, Lord, save me. My one of the texts that teaches centering prayer, its favorite one-word prayer was help. Have I called on the Lord for help, or can I do it myself because I'm a big, tough guy? Right? I think I often go do it myself, and I'm still stuck in the mud. And yet, we look at that writing from Jeremiah, and someone was sent to help him. In the psalm, the Lord stoops low and picks us up. That's the beauty of our faith. That I don't have to be made of the same metal that will take me all the way to martyrdom by myself and expect it all to come from me. What I have to do is be open to allowing God to work in me and to leave a little bit of air in there so that fire of God's love can burn brightly. Let's consider how our faith will be lit on fire this week and how we will share that light with another.